Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Monday, and I'm here with Sarah Haynes. This is Behind the Table. All right, happy Monday, everybody. I am here with the one, the only, Sarah Haynes. Hello, Sarah Haynes.
I was going to say good morning, but it's afternoon.
No, it's afternoon. Let's talk about, we were just laughing about this. So I'm walking by Sarah's dressing room before the show today, and I noticed that front and center on her desk in front of the mirror is a large framed photo of herself that could only be described as like a headshot.
It's a press shot.
It's a press shot in a frame. So I need to get some clarity on this. Are you just staring at a photo of yourself before the show to, like, self-actualize what you want to be? Because you're very into that sort of thing. What is going on with this?
Picture on the wall. Who's the best host of them all? No. So, Brian, I now to give my perspective, you're laughing and you're like, oh, is this how you get ready for the show? And I couldn't tell what you were looking at.
Yes.
And then you said, really? And you're laughing so hard. A frame photo of yourself? No, that is not mine. So I did a digital segment when mm-hmm. What Would You Do was launching called Take It From Me. Mm-hmm. And the producers give you pictures framed of yourself from different parts of your life. And that was my first day as an announced host on The View in 2016.
Okay.
So I left it there. And I guess it looks funny when you come by and you see me staring at a picture of
yourself. Yeah. I mean, most of the hosts, they don't like looking at clips of themselves. They don't like, you know.
They love it. Oh, my gosh. I could stare at pictures of myself.
You want the more of yourself as you could possibly
get. I mean, there's not even enough room for the amount of images we could put in there.
Wow. All right. Well, that's interesting. Okay. Well, let's move on.
I'm going to give it to you, though, because I think it could really, like, you know, help you get game time ready
you think
for
so?
The show. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's worked for me for years.
Yeah. I got just the place to put it. All right. So we talked about Kate Middleton on the show today mm-hmm. and this Mother's Day photo that she's now said that she edited. You said you weren't into this topic and now you've gone down multiple rabbit holes over it. Tell me more about how you're feeling.
Okay. So in the royals in general do not – royals anywhere don't really appeal to me. I've been open about that for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then when this story came out, I said, you know, this is one of those times you really just can't presume. Like, there's a health thing. You just got to leave it alone.
No, you always want to be careful with, like, speculation.
Yeah. And just, like, I literally would see the headlines and then kind of move on with my life. Ever since this picture was released, supposedly by Kate Middleton, mm-hmm. and it was doctored, I am too invested in this topic now. And it's all I think about is – I have a friend who's on a list of, like, just conspiracy theories.
Yeah, there are definitely – no, it's definitely given a lot of people really kind of fuel to look for what's wrong. Is something
yeah.
wrong with the marriage? Is something wrong with this? Is something wrong with that? And, of course, we don't know anything about that. And
no.
I agree with you. Like, it could turn out to be something serious.
Yeah.
So it's not – you know, it's not something I think you should go wild with. But at the same time – now that she's admitted that there was an edit here, something seems off.
And something, now I'm not even, I don't even think maybe she said these words
yes.
because we've learned with royal families, like a lot comes to, as Meghan Markle called them, the firm. So
yeah.
I don't even know who's releasing this, but to say, like any amateur photographer, I play with edit. That is different than saying you add a filter to your photos. Like
right.
To me, this is like very different. I don't use filters, and you can check my Instagram. I don't use filters, but I know how to use a filter. I wouldn't know the beginning of editing a photo or photoshopping, and I could say I'm an amateur photographer. Anyone with a phone is an amateur photographer.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, like, that is something people do. I do think, like, they Photoshop and take faces off of different photos and move it around. I do think, like, a
what?
Lot of people do that for family photos. Yes, that's a thing.
They take other faces off and
they
put
take
them
like if they liked my face in this picture but not the kid's face, they weren't smiling in this,
yeah,
they'll
but
move
amateur
one from the
photographers
other.
Do not photographers do that because when you get family photos by a photographer, mm-hmm. the photographer has skills in editing sets but not amateurs.
Okay, I guess,
but you know what, this is something you would figure out.
Yeah, well, no, I would know how to. I don't care about that.
I'm gonna look back at your Christmas card,
yeah,
because
and see
I'm
if
guessing
I
that you've face swapped.
I have not face swapped. Can't speak for my wife, yeah. But I have not face swapped. She's a bit of an amateur photographer herself. So
I just think there's something here. And I originally thought leave it alone because it's health and medical. Just your heart goes out to people.
Yeah, no,
and what
I pray
struggling
there's
with.
Nothing.
Yeah,
that,
but
that's
I actually
serious.
Now I'm beginning to think it's not that.
Yeah, and you think it might be something, some sort of secrets and lies.
Well, as someone who doesn't wear my wedding ring, and I've talked about the.
Well, I was going to kind of call you out on that because
you totally did. But so I had this wedding ring rash, which honestly I think came with changes of hormones because mm-hmm. I had this same ring since Max proposed in 2013.
Sure.
And it only started causing this rash in the last 6 months to a year. Mm-hmm. And a doctor said it can be your hormones changing your reaction to the metal. Today, I'm not wearing it because you'll notice on Mondays I never do because my fingers are fatter on Mondays due to my weekend activities.
When you questioned the fact that she wasn't wearing her wedding ring, were you not wearing your wedding ring in that moment?
Yeah, but no, trust me, it crossed my mind because I thought Brian, my annoying brother, is going to tell me, well, you don't wear your wedding ring. But the thing is, she is a royal. And when you hear how much is controlled about them, and we learned a lot through the Meghan Markle years, they comment on what color you can paint your nails.
Right. It doesn't seem like something they would miss.
That's what I mean is there's not a detail that is ever overlooked by them, and they're very specific in what they're allowed to do and not allowed to do. So I would assume if she's like, yeah, I'm just not wearing my ring because my fingers are fat, they would be like, no, you're going to wear your ring. Like, she always has her ring on.
Right. Well, no, it's interesting. All right. I mean, but you also, you've gotten ridiculous tabloid articles about you not wearing your ring. And so I do feel
but
like
I
we should give
some. But I also didn't disappear to a ranch where no one can find me. And
no.
With a medical story while the king has a medical story. Everyone has these stories and they're all in different places. Nobody's that invested in my life.
No, we should disappear you to a ranch just to get some like buzz about you.
Yeah, let's go back to Muggate. That was the most interest I'd ever gotten.
Yeah, you had multiple mugs. That was the, people could not get enough
that's
of that.
That's my kind of conspiracy
yeah,
is they think it's
good.
Better than it is.
All right, well, maybe
I couldn't joke about it if there was something serious.
Yes.
There's just not.
All right, well, I mean, do you think that Princess Kate deserves more privacy, or do you think that at this point she just needs to be forthright?
Well, sadly, it's not her private. I'm actually worried about her period. Like,
yes.
I'm actually not thinking this is in her hands, or that I think a lot of around the royal family is controlled in messaging and what they will and won't say. I just want to know she's okay. It's like blink five times if you're not a hostage. Like,
yeah. All right. Well, I'm sure we'll find out more about it. I'm sure we'll talk more about it on the show. Speaking of you being fired up about things, I heard you. Oh, okay.
I know what you're going to say.
All right. I thought you had like a sharp stomach pain or something. What
no.
happened?
I knew exactly where you were going.
Okay.
Are you going to talk about the Iowa women's basketball team?
I was, but now I want to talk about something ridiculous
no.
and pretend that's what I was going to say. No. I heard you were fired up with the Iowa versus Nebraska Big Ten women's basketball tournament championship game. How was that?
Well, I watched all three of their games, and every time I said it, Max is like, they're playing again, but the whole family, we uh-huh. were surrounded. And yesterday got really intense because this is their third time in a row winning their conference championship, but it wasn't looking good, and the game started rough. But I got so emotional, and I realized there's more in this. So my dear friends, Megan and Molly, lost their mom.
Yeah.
And the background of that is Megan has a big role in the Big Ten. She's a vice president of the Big Ten Women's Basketball League. And basketball became like a unifier. So even as their mom was sick, I'd check in and they'd be like, she's watching the game. Sometimes she'd stay up longer than she had all day just to watch Caitlin Clark play. And Megan has to go to the games and she's there and, you know, Molly's watching. Like, it was this, I even wrote them. I said, does watching this game make you feel closer to Janie? And sorry, this is still very fresh for me, but they were like, yeah, I kind of feel like in that moment we're all together. So the Iowa basketball team for me became something bigger. It became my connection to talking about something other than their mom being sick and eventually passing.
Yeah.
But it's also like if you're from the state, this part's less emotional. You kind of know everyone you ever knew from the state is probably watching this game. And if you watch their social media, they're all posting about it. So it kind of feels like this one moment when Iowa gets to be so cool. And I'm so proud to be a part of that. I was a proud Iowan before all this came, but it just makes me like wave my freak flag even, you know, higher.
Yeah, no, that's really sweet. That's really sweet. And I think that's one of the great things about sports is that it's a unifier,
yeah,
unifying moment. Even, you know, people who go to colleges that they feel really close to, or even like when you watch the Olympics and it's America, you know, anything like that is really, really fun. And, oh, that's very sweet. Now,
well, there were parts where I was even crying. Like, I got up and it went into overtime. It was an amazing game. And I'm sitting there and I like start crying. And Max's like, why are you crying? And I was like, this is clearly about more than basketball. But then I'm like kicking my legs in the air. I'm like, I'm pacing. Sandra got nervous and was like, why is Mama like acting this way? And he's like, she's a big fan. Like, he didn't want to go into it. But...
this is every Sunday for me when I have money on a game.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And I have no money. It's just all heart. Like, I'm just so proud of them. And and then I kind of, I'm on a downer today. I was riding with Megan and Molly and I'm like, what do we have left in life? Because that game was everything.
Well, you have March Madness coming up at least.
True.
There's that. So
yeah, I'll be tuned in for that.
All right, me too. We'll be right back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Speaking of what else you have going on in your life, last Sunday on What Would You Do, you guys tackled a really interesting topic. It was a woman finding out her boyfriend was cheating by tracking his location, and he called her out for tracking his phone. How do you feel about sharing your location with a partner?
Well, with a partner, I don't feel that much need to. Like, Max and I don't share locations.
Right.
I could see, like, worrying about a family member, like kids, obviously, but even, like, parents aging and stuff, I could see it. But if you're at, for me, if you're at the point where I have to track Max, I'm in an ugly place.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't bring out the best. And same for, I can't even fathom that crossing Max's mind. Like, let me track Sarah. Sometimes I wish he were that invested. Like, come on, boo, track me.
See, now, so I have that Life 360 app. So it lets me know where my kids are. And it also does, by if you're using it, it shows you where your partner is, too.
Yeah.
So Heather is on it. I'm on it. I don't use it to track her because I'm worried about where she is. I do use it to know how much time I have left to do whatever she asks me to do before she comes home.
Yep.
So, like, you know, if she's, like, going out and tells me, like, oh, make sure you, you know, can you do the laundry or take the garbage out or do something else, I can check and be like, all right, I got 20 minutes before she gets here. I can, you know.
I have. So that is one thing that would make me feel a little better. And it wouldn't be Max. It'd be like my sister and my brother. They're late to everything. And when I'm visiting, if I could track them, because they always say be there in 10 and you're like, there's no way you're here in 10. And I'd kind of want to say, so what are you doing on Highway 80? Right. You know, like,
right.
I'd call them out so fast. But no, partner wise, I it's kind of like when you snoop, like when you look at emails. One guy did that to me, and I remember thinking that was like the end because it was the ugly part. And usually there are signs before that.
Right.
But if you're checking things and—
Yeah, looking at text messages and stuff like that.
You're going down a rabbit hole of self-inflicted wounds.
The only when they first came out with sharing of locations on phones, my best friend from college and I both activated it for each other. And for some reason, he lives in Pittsburgh now, but for some reason, we still have it open. So occasionally, he'll just text me like, why are you at a bar on Saturday night at 11 o'clock? I'm like,
stop.
I just am. Yeah.
You guys still have each other
We still
in
have
there?
It on. Yeah,
that's really cute.
It's very ridiculous, but it makes me laugh. Okay, we have two listener texts for you. Are you ready? All right. Text number one. A lot of working moms of young kids feel guilty. Are you or were you one of them? And what are your thoughts on that?
I don't think I know a mom who doesn't carry guilt as closely as her own children, because guilt is kind of part of the job.
Yes.
I don't think I realized just how bad it would be until I had kids, but I feel guilty for 1,000 different things in a day. You know, when I'm gone for work, or I can never go to morning things with school. And whenever one of the kids looks and says, or answers for one of the others and says, Mama won't be able to come because she works, like my heart drops. Mm-hmm. Or times when, you know, I have something and I have to stay in the city late, they'll be like, you're not going to be here when we sleep. And it's all that. But then it's even when I am home and not working, I'm not as patient. I'm pushed to my edges, and then I yell or I do something, and then you feel guilty in how you handled it, or you wonder each day if the tools you're using or not using are wrecking your children, you know, or you see a habit that they copy that you do. You know, Alec has a lot of big feelings, and his regulation is like, he doesn't always know how to handle it. And I like often feel guilty and have said so to Max that like, he got that from me. I hate that. You know, like it's...
How much of that is projection, though? How much is that?
It's probably a lot of it.
I mean, I think.
I mean, I still feel guilty about postpartum because I swear that Alec's so close with Max because even though I know this is irrational and I've had therapists tell me it's irrational, I assign those nights I couldn't be there early on because I was so unhappy to driving my child into Max's arms. And he's always like, you know, that's not true, Sarah.
Right. And how great is it that he's close to his father? That's a wonderful thing.
It's actually adorable because Max is the same way with his dad. So mm-hmm. Max got exactly what he deserved. But I think guilt is, it's the hardest and most awesome responsibility I've ever been given and the most inadequate I've ever felt. Simultaneously. So guilt is just going to creep in every day of the week, especially when you're tired and exhausted. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
And of course, you, like so many moms, are also working to make their lives better. And that's a big part of it, too.
Well,
so
I would like to say working for their lives better. But if I'm being honest, I'm working to be a better version of myself.
That makes their lives better.
Like, which makes their lives better. Yes.
Every aspect.
Everyone wins when Sarah's in her best self.
Yes. No argument there. All right. We have listener text number two. Here it is. Adam from Phoenix has a question for Sarah. As someone who, like you, suffers from anxiety and depression, I must ask if it has ever affected your relationships with Max, family, or friends. If so, do you have any advice on how to better manage those relationships or what tools you've given them to help understand you better?
Okay, so one, it absolutely affects all those relationships. I'll address the Max one the most because I think anyone that's the most intimate with you is going to learn the most about those issues.
Right.
I think one of the recommendations I do is transparency. By the time I met Max, I had, I went to therapy for the first time when I was some college age. So I'd been in touch with when I needed therapy or if I ever needed medicine. And so I had the words around how to share that I dealt with some things or, you know, felt certain things. Mm-hmm. And so having those conversations with someone, Max and I are still learning the routines of when things happen. The other day, while I think it was right after one of these Iowa games, Max starts to like dive into a heavy political topic or something. And I'm like, I'm a little fighty and bitey. And he says something like, oh my gosh, I just asked a question. I was like, why do you think two wines in on a Saturday evening, I want to talk about that? Like, and I just like, he retreated fast though, because we also have the kind of word choice of he can tell when I'm about to say, I don't have the tools for this. Like, this is not the time to do this. Mm-hmm. No matter what you say right now, we're going to end in a fight.
Right.
So I think learning the dance of how to notify someone when you're in those places or even telling them the triggers in advance. Max knows when I'm overtired, when we've had a long stretch of things. Sometimes I don't know how to describe it, but I'll say I'm in one of those places. And he's like, oh, what do you need? You know, now empower them.
He strikes me as someone who's got a pretty stable mood most of the time. Is that true or not really?
Shocking, Brian.
Yes.
He's never left ground zero. I tease him all the time. He'll talk about my feelings. I was like, yeah, because I'm our average.
Yes.
I go up and I go down. You never leave flatline, boo. Never. Yeah. In fact, I don't think I ever saw Max get upset until we had kids. And those are some of the conversations we have about parental guilt.
Right.
Because Max was like a chill dude until he became a dad.
Yeah.
And then all these frenetic things came out. And sometimes when he yells, I'm like, Max, in all the years I've known you, I've never heard your voice like that. He's like, I know, I shouldn't have yelled. And I'm like, it's okay, honey. I did four times before you.
No, of course. And kids bring out those aspects of
they
you 100%,
totally test you.
Both good and bad. They yeah. definitely make you, they run the gamut of emotions of all times. I mean, I think that's part of the good and bad of having kids.
Well, that's the hard part of also ruling with kids, because sometimes my energy, whether I'm happy, sad, angry, you name it, I come with a lot of energy. There have been times where the kids witness us and we'll have our discussions right out with each other because we're not fighting. We're literally disagreeing. Mm-hmm. Every single time Alec watches, he's like, Mama, why are you being so mean to Papa? And I'm like,
oh, God.
Papa, why is Mama being so mean? Because mine are already such big emotions
yes.
that if you gauge a moment on that, mm-hmm. poor Max is just a victim.
Yeah. I have a lot of sympathy for Max. I'm not going to lie.
No, I know you do.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, as always, I've enjoyed our therapy sessions. Thank you for joining me.
I've asked you to bring a couch into this room so I could lay down and get proper therapy.
I'll see what we can do. But thank you again for joining me, Sarah. Tomorrow, I'll be back with Sunny. In the meantime, if you have a question or want advice from me or a co-host, please check our episode description for the number to our Behind the Table hotline. Leave a review. We're getting a lot of fans of the podcast in the audience today. We had
Bry Guys.
And we did have Bry Guys. They were there.
There was a section, and it was actually embarrassing to know you were right. They come for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, they come for you guys, and they're just...
Some of them do.
Yes, but they're fans of the podcast. Whoopi seemed very shocked by that today.
I was shocked. There were two different women... just not the stats I expected going, I'm here for Brian. I was just like...
Well, listen, you know, I can't stop the appeal.
I can't promise you those women weren't paid, but I was definitely not paid to repeat this story.
Yes.
So.
Well, anyway, in any case, I appreciate all of you. I appreciate the love of the podcast and the show. Please leave us a rating, a recommendation, tell your friends, follow us, whatever you can do. And we'll see you tomorrow.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.